As you can tell, there's a lot of personality in this group. They've been fun to work with the last 3.5 years of high school and just being able to pour into them. If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and open to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You know, these type of services are always weird, right? They're kind of awkward because when the person steps up to speak, you're like, are they talking to the seniors? Are they talking to me? The seniors are like, are they talking to me? Are they talking to the rest of the church? I want to say it like this. I'm talking to you, okay? This sermon is not just for them. It's not just for you. It's for the church as a whole because I believe that God's word is enough for us to be able to grow and to be able to be pushed in our walks with Christ. Just to give you an idea of these guys and these seniors, when I first came here 3.5 years ago, they were kind of towards the end of their freshman year. And at that time, well, we really had two of them that were coming faithfully. They were plugged in. They were engaged in what we were doing. And slowly but surely, they just began to kind of love on their friends and invite people and just continue to encourage people to be a part of the fellowship here at First Baptist Church of Wildwood. And slowly but surely, God just continued to grow this group as a group of friends, as a group of people who we could kind of depend on to lead. What is neat is many of these seniors have been led to Christ here at First Baptist Church of Wildwood, whether in children's ministry or student ministry, and baptized here. And we are thankful for that and what God is doing in our children's ministry and our student ministry to allow us to impact the kingdom by just preaching the word and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as I prayed, I said, okay, God, give me a word. Give me a word that would just speak to the church today. Give me a word that would encourage them as they kind of take that next step. And just 1 Timothy, I said something. I was preaching out of 1 Timothy, and Micah said, all right, dude, we're tired of hearing 1 Timothy because I've been on it for a while, but it's so rich. The book is so good. There's so much meat in 1 Timothy. So if you would, join me in 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 12 through 16. It says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teachings. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Before we get into the meat of the scripture, we'll work through this and we'll talk about kind of what each verse is means. Let me tell you what I feel student ministry is, because many people look at student ministry and they think that it's loud music, pizza parties, and they just break stuff. We also spend the most money within the church. So sometimes we look at student ministry like a burden. Some people come and they gather and they play games. You can ask students, we don't play many games because my goal and my leaders' goals and our job, I feel like as a student pastor and student ministry leaders, is to equip these guys when they sit here on this day to be able to take that next step in the church and say, where can I serve? Where can I lead? How can I continue to impact and to grow in my walk with Christ? Because if we set them up to step here on this day and stand here on this day and say, okay, student ministry was fun, let me go enjoy the world, then we've set them up for failure. We've set them up not to continue in their walk with Christ. And what I'm thankful is I believe that our church here, because of the line items that they give us in the budget, because of the fact that they hire and allow us to do the things that we do, it's obvious that our church loves students and loves children. They love the fact that we can invest in their lives and pour into their lives. And so as the student pastor of First Baptist Church of Wildwood, let me thank you as a church for allowing us to invest in the lives of these teenagers, to allow us to invest in the lives of these students, that they may continue on in their walk with Christ and continue pointing people towards Jesus, whether it's in the church or whether it's outside of the church. But as we look at this text, as we look at this scripture, the first thing that Paul is writing to Timothy, we need to understand the relationship between Paul and Timothy. Paul being the mentor, Timothy being the mentoree, right? They had a relationship. He loved them. He was guiding him. He was directing them. He's instructing me on good ways to lead. And so the first thing that we see in verse 12 is it says, let no one despise you for your youth. And so some of you are like, okay, well, this is for the students. No, this isn't for the students. You got to understand the context in which Paul was talking to Timothy. Because at this time, in this place and in this moment, Timothy was expected to be 30, mid-30s, somewhere in there. And the elders in the church were far older than him. So there was a level of intimidation. There was a level of just didn't really know how to handle it, didn't know how to deal with it. And so Paul's telling Timothy, he's saying, don't worry about how old you are. You can still lead. Don't worry about what you've done. You still have the ability through Christ Jesus our Lord and Savior to be a good servant of the Lord. And he goes on and he says, you can do this by doing this, by setting an example for the believers. It says in the scripture, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Paul tells Timothy, he said, listen, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how old the elders in your church are. If you set an example for them, if you set an example in your walk with Christ and the way that you talk, and the way that the stuff that you say, and the way that you live your life and your conduct and the places that you go and the stuff that you do and the way that you love others and the way that you are faithful to serving God, the way that you're faithful to God and in your purity, they will naturally respect your testimony and respect who you are as a leader. I think that we've missed this as a church. We've missed this as a church in today's culture, that we kind of have the attitude of, I don't care what people think of me, I'm just going to be me. When Paul's telling Timothy, be an example of Christ Jesus our Lord. Be that example. Because if you be an example, then you're naturally going to be a leader. And naturally, your voice is going to be heard. And it doesn't matter if you're young, you're old, you're in between. It does not matter. You will be able to lead. I remember there was a time in my life. I was 18 years old. I was graduating. And I had begun to feel the call to ministry and that God was just kind of calling me to serve in a bigger capacity, a larger capacity. And I began to, for a year, honestly, to just make excuses. To be like, God, no, like, no, not now. Like, God, I'm still working on myself. God, you don't really want me to teach third graders. I'll probably slap some of them. You don't want me to do this right now. I promise you don't want me to do this. But God continued to put that call in my life. He's saying, what I'm calling you to, I've equipped you for. What I'm calling you to serve and the capacity in which I've called you to serve, I've equipped you for that and I've prepared you for that. And it was in that next year that God began to open the door for me to serve in big capacities and small capacities within our church. It's within that next year that God put a ministry on my heart, the ticket ministry, that I would travel and speak with and lead people in God's Word and teaching them God's Word. That it was in that season of my life where I said, yes, Jesus, I don't care how old I am. I don't care what my testimony is. I don't care what it is. I'm willing to do this so that I can be an example for those younger than me, so that I can be an example for those older than me of what it means to be a good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand something, church, that you are never too old and you are never too young to be an example for somebody else. We've taken the emphasis off of being an example for somebody because we have the attitude of, I didn't sign up to be their role model. When you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to living a life that is above reproach, living a life that people can look at you and say, that's what it means to follow Jesus. That's what it looks like to seek after Christ. Paul goes on and he continues in verse 13. And he says, until I come. So Paul's telling Timothy, he's saying, listen, bro, I plan on visiting you. I plan on coming and spending some time with you. But until I do, devote yourself. To me, devotion is a commitment. I'm in. I'm there. I'm about it. He says, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. Paul gave three examples right here to Timothy, three things that would impact his ministry, three things that Paul is telling Timothy, do this. And you'll continue to be this good example. The first thing was devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. Open God's Word. Know God's Word. Understand God's Word. We just talked in Sunday school that a replacement of oftentimes is we replace these Christian self-help books for God's Word. There's nothing better than the Word of God. Get in it. Understand it. Know it. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. If you're not a member of this church, If you're not a part of this fellowship, this isn't where you attend. Seniors, as you go to your different places and you journey in life and you connect to other churches, let me give you some advice. If they do not open God's word and preach God's word, leave and find somewhere else to go. Because there are too many people that stand behind chair or tables and pulpits and things like this, and they begin to say things that are not of God's word. Go somewhere that they are going to preach God's word and proclaim God's word. And if they don't, find somewhere else to go. The next thing that he says is, he says, in the public reading of Scripture, he says, devote yourself to exhortation, which I would define this as just application. It's one thing to know God's word, but it's another thing to when we begin to apply God's word. See, I think that knowing God's word is the idea of having a head knowledge. You understand it up here, but it never hits here. Because when it gets to your heart, and that's when it begins to transform the way that you live. That's when it begins to allow you to be an example to other people, to the parents, to the grandparents. How many times have your kids or your grandkids seen you studying God's word? I remember going into my parents' room before I go to school sometimes, and my mom had this hideous, ugly green chair in her room. And she just used it to sit at and pray that morning. She just used it as a time before everything got started where she could just open up the word of God and to read it and study it. You want to be an example, you want to be a leader, then know God's word, preach God's word, proclaim God's word, but also apply it to your life and use it. It's great if it's here, but it's even better if it's here and you begin to live it out. Then Paul says in this verse, he says, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, devote yourself to exhortation, but devote yourself to teaching. Devote yourself to teaching the word of God. See, we've defined teaching as, okay, I need a classroom with an audience, when your audience sometimes is just one person at a lunch table across the table from you, that God's saying, teach them my ways. See, your audience sometimes is your little ones that are in your bedroom that you lay down to sleep, that you can sit there and teach them the word of God. Don't misinterpret what Paul is telling Timothy. Paul is telling Timothy as a leader to preach the word in the context of which we're talking. But as a believer, as a follower of Christ, we all have a responsibility to teach the word, to devote ourselves to the teaching. And if you have never sat across the table, if you've never sat in a classroom, oh, what a blessing and a joy you're missing from being able to point somebody to the word of God, to begin to help them understand what the word of God says. Paul continues in verse 14, and he says, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. So let me give you an understanding of what Paul's saying when he's saying that Timothy had hands laid on him. He would just be like at my ordination service, where I came to a service, they had a special thing, and they came down front and they laid hands on me, preparing me, praying over me to send me out to wherever it was that God was sending me to do ministry. And so that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, don't forget the time, don't forget the moment in which your church, in which these leaders prayed over you and said, go. Go and be an example. Don't neglect the gift that you've been given. You know I can't preach without a sports illustration. So here it comes. One thing that frustrates me more than anything is athletes who have all the talent in the world, but blow it by drugs, by women, by whatever it is, lifestyle, alcohol. I think one of the examples that for our younger people that have seen is Johnny Manziel. For others, Aaron Hernandez was an example of having all the talent in the world that they needed to play the game, but couldn't stay clean. Couldn't get away from a certain lifestyle. They neglected the gift in which they were given. I think that we've done the same thing. We've neglected the gift that God's given us. Understand that through the power of Christ, you've been given every gift and everything that you need to make much of Jesus. Let me talk to the older people in the room right now, the seniors, should I say. For some of you, you've spiritually retired about 5 years ago, about 2 years ago, for some of you. You said, I've done my time. I've completed my ministry. I'm going to retire. You know why? Because some of these younger people need to do it. Because some of these other people need to step up. I don't disagree with that. Absolutely. But there's something about cross-generational ministry that's effective. And so when we begin to see both sides stepping up into leadership, we begin to see a healthy church. But I think that what you need to be reminded of, if it's you stop teaching or you stop helping or you stop serving because, I'm tired of it, I'm done with it. Or maybe this, because this is the case for some, that, that person made me mad, let me tell you to get over yourself and come back and serve. So we have these situations and these scenarios where people make all of these excuses to neglect the gift of which they've been given. Can I take you back up to verse 12? Set an example for the believers. How is that setting an example? If you've checked out and you've backed off and you're not serving and you're not participating and you're not engaged, not just in the local church, but in growing in your walk with Christ, how is that setting an example? And God's called us to so much more than just sitting in a pew on Sunday morning, singing these songs and listening to me talk or Craig talk or Joey talk. He's called us to a life that changes people outside of this place. And so many of us have checked out of that. I read an article this past week about culture, and it said the church is running from the culture that's outside the doors. Instead of saying, how can we engage it? We get freaked out when stuff happens. And we act like we don't realize that sin is in the world. But rather, how can we engage to say, Jesus is enough? Jesus is all you need. And we're going to end here this morning. Verse 13. It says, until I come, devote yourself. Go ahead in 15, Stephen, my bad. Practice these things. So Paul's telling Timothy, what I've told you to do, being an example, being devoted, practice these things. Do this stuff. Immerse yourself in them. So that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Paul closed this little segment of Scripture by telling Timothy, he's saying, listen, I've told you to be an example. I've told you to be devoted to my word. I've told you all of these things. But let me remind you, to keep watch, because the enemy will attack. Let me tell you something. If you're in this room right now, and you're not worried about being an example, you're not worried about being devoted to the word, you're not worried about, you don't care about neglecting your gift, you're no threat to the enemy. The enemy's good with that. He's happy about that. But it's when you begin to be an example, it's when you begin to be devoted, it's when you begin to not neglect your gift, and that is when you're a threat to the enemy, and the enemy will begin to attack. And what Paul is telling Timothy, he's saying, keep watch. Protect yourself. Protect your ministry, and protect your private life. Make sure that what you're doing off the stage is suitable for you to stand on stage and proclaim the word. Make sure that you're an example to those around you so that there's nothing that they can hold over your head and say, but this, that platform is there for you to continue to serve. For our seniors, guess what? You're about to graduate. You worked for a while for this, but you're about to get a whole lot of freedom. You're about to get to make some decisions. Some of you are going to live on it by yourself for the first time. You're about to walk onto college campuses that have what I would consider outside of the villages the most temptation in the world. Y'all know it's true. But you're about to walk into a different phase of life that you've never experienced. And I charge you to be an example, to be devoted. Don't neglect your gift. you have the tools that you need to serve. Ooh. Stay watchful in your walk with Christ. So that you can make much of Jesus. At this time, some people call it response, some people call it invitation. Maybe for you today, you've never accepted Jesus Christ in your life. You're saying, man, I'm a mom or a dad of one of these kids, or maybe you're a you come here often, but you've never accepted Jesus Christ. You said, I've never made the decision to trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I haven't been that example. Maybe I haven't been that person. Maybe I've been that person that neglected my gift. Maybe I've been that person that put this stuff to the side and I'm not worried about it. Maybe today is the day of salvation where you need to give your life to Christ. Maybe God connected your student here for you to hear this message, for you to be here today in this place, in this spot. For some of you, you've been attending for a long time. Naturally, you in your head, you're like, this is my church home, this is my family. Would you come join us? Would you be a member of this fellowship? Would you be a member of this body of Christ? Just a moment, I'm going to ask the seniors to do something we've done the last couple years. I'm going to ask a few of them to go on this side. I'm going to ask a few of them to go on this side. And they're going to be standing there, and they're going to be facing you, and it's going to be weird. It's going to be awkward for them. But I'm going to ask if you would, as we sing and we play, you may not know any of them. You may know all of them. But they're going to be there, and I just ask that you just pray for them. Maybe you come forward and pray with them, pray with a few of them, that God will just guide them, that He will direct them, that He will protect them as they go. Would you pray with me? Father, we come right now. And it's in this place and it's in this time, God, that we thank you for the platforms that you give us, God. We thank you for the investments that you allow us to make into people's lives. God, I thank you for First Baptist Church of Wildwood. I thank you for connecting me here, God. I thank you for allowing me to be a part of this family. God, I pray today, if there's somebody that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, God, there's somebody in this room that hasn't given their life to you, God. God, would you lead them to a place where they realize that they need you as their Lord and Savior? God, that you would lead them to a place, God, where they're forever changed by who you are and what you've done for them. God, thank you for these 12 seniors. Thank you for the example that they set. Thank you for their devotion to your word. Thank you for their commitment to you. God, I ask that you protect them. God, I ask that you guide them. God, I ask that you direct them. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.